94 WIP Midday Show. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio today on this Thursday. Hugh, are you going to go to the Phillies game in a few weeks where Nelly is doing the post-game concert down at CBP?
Nope.
No?
I mean, I'm a Nelly fan, too. Back in the day, he was, you know, I remember he had...
Country Grammar?
Tip Drill.
Okay.
Shot that at Ray Buchanan's house. Because I used to live in Atlanta, right?
Yeah.
And I remember when they were shooting that video, everybody was talking about, you know, coming through. And I was like, nah, that probably ain't a good look.
Wait, they were shooting a video at Ray Buchanan's house?
Tip Drill was shot at Ray Buchanan's house.
I did not know that.
In the pool.
Why didn't you go, man? That would have been awesome.
Have you ever seen the video of Tom Kelly?
I have not.
Okay. Well, go look at the video.
Okay.
And just know that the video, like, it was like a party. And back in the day, because that's what you used to do. You used to go to people's pool parties and stuff like that. So
still a thing.
Well, it's different in Atlanta.
Oh, God.
It's a little different.
Yeah.
It's a little different.
All right, I'll take a look at it.
Yeah, it's a little different. And it's a little different. It was a different time.
I feel so like, am I wrong? But I feel like Nelly's a pretty big get to get for, like, a post-game concert. Like,
I mean, it's nice. It's going to be nice.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure people are going to have fun. It's going to be great. That's probably, you know, probably not.
Maybe a little past his prime, but Nelly's still, you know, pretty popular.
He just joined the Old Ass Daddy Club, too. He just had a baby with Ashanti.
Oh, so really?
Yeah, he just joined the Old Ass Daddy Club.
Oh, he's with Ashanti now?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Damn, Tom, where you been?
I've been running that
failing-ass restaurant, huh?
Hey, I've evolved now. Now I'm an owner of a Planet Fitness. I just don't go in there, right? That's what the guy said?
Yep.
That was mean, too.
Whoever did that, that was a gym. That was probably the gym of the week.
215-592-9494. Please, you people, let me know what I look like today. Like, what profession I look like. That could be a fun bit.
Yeah, we're lacking in that. Today. Okay. We need some more.
We need people to suggest what
shots of TK.
A sad profession that I look like I partake in. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Talking a lot about Bryce Harper today. His impact yesterday, 4 extra base hits, 3 doubles, 1 home run. Does that make you feel better about the team as a whole? Would have been so much more effective, man. It was so close to being a great yes. But
no, because I didn't want to cough on the air. So
that's all good.
That's good.
So Hugh and Kyle say yes. I say no. I still need to see more from the rest of the guys on this team. And coming up in a few minutes, we will get to a few very, juicy trade deadline reports, one from a national writer, one from a local writer, but really, I think, sheds light into what the Phillies' thinking is, what Dave Dombrowski's thinking is, as we head toward this deadline. 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phones. Go to Mark in Folsom. What's up, Mark?
I just wanted to call and talk about the Thompson's availability to, you know, change things up a little. I think from a position player perspective, he's got a lot of options. I think the Phillies' problem was they spent a real lot of money on Kepler, and he's certainly no Marsh. They could have Marsh left, and they could have spent all that money on a lights-out closer. Or if they were going to spend money on a left fielder, they should have got a right-handed left fielder. Their lineup is deficient from a right-handed power-hitting perspective. And, you know, I can't blame the manager for that.
Yeah, and that's where I am, Mark. I just look at the issues that you have. And I feel like, especially in recent weeks, people put a lot on Rob Thompson, this decision here, this decision there. But the bottom line is the pieces that he has to work with just aren't all that good.
Well, I think Stott and Sosa are both excellent. I mean, you're not going to find a lot of second basemen on any team in a league that are better than either of those guys. And I think Marsh is thrown under the bus by the fan base a lot. But, I mean, he's a 265, 270 hitter that, you know, they say is one of the best defensive left fielders in the game. I know he has a little bit of problems sometimes in center. But, I mean, there's not a lot of teams with better guys than them. I think Stott is going to be really good.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't.
It sounds like perspective to me, TK.
Yeah, well, I'm not feeling too positive about the perspective here. But, Mark, I mean, we've been waiting for Stott for a few years, though. I thought Stott was going to have a bounce-back year. He was dealing with the elbow thing last season. But, I mean, this year he just has not been very good offensively.
Well, he's a 250, 260 hitter. He plays his position well. And he's got a little bit of hop when you need him. I mean, how many second basemen are more than that?
Yeah, but
we're not talking about a corner outfielder.
But Mark Stott, but Stott hasn't been that this year, though. Like, he's not hitting 260 this year.
No, but he will by the end of the year, and he'll have his 10 or 12 home runs. I mean, come on.
You sure?
I hope so.
Yeah, what's he batting, 245?
Right now, he's hitting 240. He's hitting 240 with six homers.
All right. Well,
and a 311 on base percentage.
Yeah, well, they yanked him around a little bit in the lineup, which kind of probably discombobulated him a bit.
I feel,
you go to bat and lead off in the beginning of the year, and then they put him down the bottom. He'll be fine.
I hear you, Mark. Appreciate the call. Thanks for checking in.
He's being optimistic.
Like, moving guys in the order is going to mess him up. I think we put way too much stock into that. Like, okay, some days are going to hit at the top. Some days are going to hit in the middle, hit at the bottom. When you go up to the plate, hit. I mean, that's what it really comes down to.
Yeah, I think that for the most part, when we were moving guys around, they did a pretty good job of that when they were asked to do certain things. It wasn't like some guys pushed back a little bit. But, you know, for the most part, I think they did the job when they were asked to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, in the end, the players do need to perform. And I just think when it comes to Thompson, I just think he takes way too much heat for where this team is at. I mean, it's not like he's dealing with an all-star team. It's not like this team is, like, I would say, underperforming necessarily, according to the talent that they have. Like, with the talent that they have, I think he's kind of getting the most out of the talent
that he has. I think he's done a tremendous job, but the unfortunate thing for him is that for us fans, we kind of know the outcome, or we think we know what the outcome is going to be, because the last couple of seasons, these bats went cold at the wrong time. So that's where the concern lies.
Yeah. So if you want to get in on Rob Thompson, the job he's done, you're welcome to. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. But did want to get to the trade deadline, because a couple interesting reports came out this morning. First, Jeff Pessin of ESPN did a little piece where, for all the teams in contention, he put out their best kind of match in the trade deadline market and the weaknesses that they have. And a couple guys that he suggested for the Phillies, Emmanuel Clase, closer in Cleveland, been one of the best closers the last couple of years, and Stephen Kwan, the outfielder from Cleveland. We talked about Kwan a little bit the other day, didn't really mention Clase, but he says maybe it would take Andrew Painter, maybe Aiden Miller, maybe Justin Crawford, but thinks Clase is the best match for the Phillies. What do you think of those
three
two
for
guys?
One?
Well, I don't think, no, it wouldn't be a three
you
for one.
You mean one of those guys.
Yeah, one of those guys were, I mean, if you could put together a package to get both, that would probably take all three.
I'm still Painter. I think he's the future, and I know you want the future to be now. But when you talk about, for me, the potential of losing as many pitchers as you can possibly lose in the offseason, you know, when you talk about Ranger and everything, and you know, don't know what you get with Nola. Bottom line is, no, I don't want to trade Painter. That to me is, no, I don't want to trade Painter.
And I mean, Kwan and Class A are obviously guys who could help this team, but it does come down to the Painter part of it. And Matt Gelb also released a piece this morning, which is pretty interesting, of The Athletic, where he talks about the Phillies have kind of come to the determination that they are more in a win-now mode. They're willing to part with some of these top prospects. Now, according to Matt Gelb, and this infuriates me, that they're only essentially focused on the bullpen at this point. They're not really looking to add a bat. I mean, to me, you need to add both. You need to add bullpen pieces. You need to add a bat to this lineup. But that really is the question. Would you trade Andrew Painter in the right deal? If the Phillies are more in a win-now mode, would you trade a guy like Painter to win this season? And if we want to get into 1-5-9-2-9-4-9-4, you're slamming the buzzer, Kyle. I wouldn't the right deal. I'm not going to give him away. But if you can get a difference-making bat for Andrew Painter, I'm absolutely entertaining it.
What, in your opinion, is the difference-making bat? Like, I don't... All the names that we know of that are available at the deadline, I'm not even considering moving Andrew Painter forth. Like, there's no Juan Soto-caliber player that's available. Obviously, if that's out there, then yeah, I think you pull the trigger and deal Andrew Painter. But I don't know. With the future of Ranger Suarez, not very certain here. Also, like, I don't know if I want them to sign him necessarily. Like, he does have a little bit of an injury history. Jesus Arda's got 1 year left. They need Andrew Painter on this roster at least next season. Whether it's this year or not, I don't know. But Andrew Painter's like the best pitching prospect that the Phillies have had, I think, in my lifetime. There's nobody that I know of that's out there right now that I'm dealing Andrew Painter for. And I know Matt Gelb mentioned Joan Duran, who I'd be all over, just not for Andrew Painter. If they can find another way to get him, I'd be all over that. I would love to get Duran. I'm not giving away Andrew Painter. He's not even on the table for me.
Well, I don't know if you could say he's the best pitching prospect they've had in your life. I mean, Cole Hamels was a pretty heralded pitching prospect.
Yeah, I think he's a better prospect than Cole. Mm.
You think so? I mean, what are the odds, though, that Andrew Painter has anywhere close to the career Cole Hamels has? Well, I don't think very good.
Oh, really?
No, I mean,
I think there's a pretty damn good chance that he does. I mean, like, if
Cole
you're talking
Hamels
about...
was an unbelievable pitcher for, like, a decade.
Sure, if you're talking about accomplishments in terms of winning a World Series, I can't predict whether the Phillies will win a World Series with Andrew Painter, but I think he could come up and be just as good, if not better, than Cole Hamels.
And we'll see, but I want to get people's takes on that. 215-592-9494. Would you be willing to have Andrew Painter on the table at the trade deadline? I wouldn't. Again, I'm not giving him away. I'm not trading him for Byron Buxton or anybody like that. But if a scenario comes about where there's a real legitimate right-handed bat that can help you and can be controllable. But that's another thing that in the Matt Gell piece was a part of this, is Phillies aren't necessarily looking for rentals. They're looking for guys who are under club control long term. I think it would be wrong of the Phillies not to entertain every option. And some of that may have to do with dealing Andrew Painter, because it's about this year, man. I can't sacrifice this year for what Andrew Painter's career could be. I'm not willing to do that.
You don't think there's better ways to, like, middle that out? Like, I'd be more willing to trade Aiden Miller or, like, Justin Crawford.
More willing.
Right.
But I'm not going into it saying there's no chance I'm trading him. He's completely off the table.
So I'm not necessarily either, but I don't, there's no, Kyle Tucker's not available. The Cubs are a World Series contending team. If you were talking to me about Kyle Tucker and he had a lot more control than he does right now, like if he'd been signed, then yeah, I'd consider it, but like I don't think there's a perfect player that's both young, controllable, and good enough for me to be willing to trade Andrew Painter right now. I'm not doing it for like a Brian Reynolds or like,
oh, no, no way.
That's not what I'm saying, but like, we're talking about a contributing right-handed bat. Like, I'm not looking for somebody who's going to fill in this year and maybe give you a chance to win the World Series. Like, I would need somebody that's going to be a centerpiece. Like, Andrew Painter is going to be a centerpiece for this team. I would need somebody back like that in this kind of deal.
Yeah,
that's what it kind of feels like to me. When I first got here and he was about to come up and unfortunately got hurt, it felt to me similar to when Strasburg was coming up. Now, he had more hoopla, but it felt the same to me. And I was always told, like, you can't have enough good pitching. And he feels like he's going to be a really good pitcher. So, yeah, he is a no for me. I'm not giving that guy up.
Part of it, though, I don't think we know all the guys that are going to be available yet.
Unknown.
Yeah, I think it's going to shake out more in the next couple weeks. And I'm not saying I'm giving Andrew Painter away, and I'm not going to look to trade him. I'm not going to dangle him out there. But if a piece becomes available, if I'm convicted, this guy can be a legitimate difference-making player, and he's a guy who could be under control for years moving forward, I think it would be a mistake for the Phillies not to entertain every option, because you are in a win now position. You are a team that's built to win this year.
I mean, you listen, but I think it would have to be something that absolutely blows you away.
No question.
Because you got some really good pitching going on right now, and you're talking about trading one of your biggest prospects. I'm knowing that Ranger might leave. You don't know what Nola's going to be. I don't think that's a piece that I would entertain. But I would listen to what people have to say, but realistically, I don't think I would trade.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's doubtful he does get traded. And let me be clear again, I don't want to trade Andrew Painter, but I do absolutely want to maximize this season. And if trading Andrew Painter is the way I maximize this season, because, hey, man, I don't know if we're ever going to be in a position where we have a pitching rotation this good again.
That's true.
I mean, there's a chance that might never be the case.
That's true.
Zach Wheeler, Christopher Sanchez, Ranger Suarez, three guys that all certainly could have been in the All-Star game this year. Your fourth spot, whether that's Lizardo, Nola, whatever, you have a team that is built to now, and I think we all kind of agree, this is the last year where this core is going to make a run at it. This is the last year that this core has a real chance.
It kind of feels like it.
I just think you got to at least consider it, and I think Painter's going to be great. We don't know that Andrew Painter is going to be great. And I'm not necessarily, you know, comparing him to this guy. But you remember Kyle Drabek, the guy the Phillies traded for Roy Halladay? I mean, Kyle Drabek at the time, it was like, this is a big deal. This is a huge deal for the Phillies to move on from this guy. And I'll be clear, Painter, I believe, is a much better prospect than Kyle Drabek. But they're prospects. We don't know. He's coming off Tommy John. Who knows if he has health concerns moving forward? I think it's something you at least need to consider.
Yeah, I was like, just as much as an unknown as Andrew Painter is as a prospect, are the guys who are available that can help you right now. Well, who's to say the guy that we trade Andrew Painter for doesn't end up not being a contributor at all? Like, that's a risk, too, that I think is a big part of this. I'm almost more confident in what Andrew Painter is going to be able to provide to this team in the future than I am any of these people that I know of available right now.
Right, and I'd agree right now. But right now, I think, is the key thing. Because the other day, we brought up the name Austin Riley. I don't know if he's going to get traded or not. I don't know if the Braves are going to be sellers or not. But say a guy like that becomes available, I mean, I'd be really tempted to part with Andrew Painter for a player like that.
Because you're antsy. You're a little antsy.
Perfect fit in the lineup. I mean, come on, man. I mean, I'm antsy.
You're a little antsy.
I'm not going to disagree.
I mean, but pitching's at a premium, man. You got it. Like, I just feel like Rudamaro said this years ago, like, you can't have enough good pitching. It feels like Painter potentially could be that guy.
Tell him, Douglas.
But we've had years where we've had great pitching. It doesn't matter because I can't score any runs.
Man, we got great pitching right now.
2011 and 2024.
Look like it's starting to turn the corner, though. It looked like it's going to turn the corner.
The pitching was unreal. 2011 was an unbelievable rotation. And they lost game 5-1 nothing.
You saw Bryce yesterday. Come on.
Yeah, well, we had great offensive players that year.
Look.
So you think you don't even need a bat at the deadline? Are you good?
I didn't say that. Well, I don't think you need as big of an impact bat as some people are making out.
No, I think we need an impact bat. Impact bat.
Well, like somebody with some pop. Yeah, you can sit in there.
Pop is cool. Pop is cool.
We'll see what Kyle has coming up at 12:30 in the Finish the Phillies segment. What prospect? Taylor Ward only got the other day, I think, from us.
I wouldn't mind it.
Hugh successfully guessed Taylor Ward, though.
He did. That was really impressive. I mean, that was the first day, too, so literally everybody was on the board.
Oh, yeah, it's going to probably fall off a little bit after that.
You're a baseball guy, Hugh. Let's go to Kevin in Philly. What's up, Kevin?
Kev!
Hey, how you doing?
What's going on, Kev? How you doing?
I'm good. Couple of things that I would. First of all, we need a bullpen. We need a bullpen stopper. If we have any sense of trying to compete at the highest level, we definitely need a bullpen stopper. Secondarily, we need a right-handed power hitter. We need a right-handed hitter. I mean, too often we've seen our folks come up there in situations where we can't get a runner home. Nobody out, man on second, men on second, third. How many times do we have to see that before we decide we need a good hitter in our life? So those are the two things. The other thing I would say, if you think about the Phillies team, which is a good team, I'm not denying that, but think about the only players from my perspective who would be considered at the top of the chain in MLB are probably Schwarber, other than the pitchers, are Schwarber and Bryce. Nobody else would be in the top. In their position. That's a problem for us. That's a serious problem for us. So my thing would be, everybody's on the table. We need a bullpen stopper first and foremost. And secondarily, we need a power right-handed hitter. Because while I think Castellanos is up and down, he's adequate. He's not consistent. I don't know what happened to Baum. I thought 2023, when he made the All-Star team last year, I thought he was coming out of his malaise, but doesn't seem to be. He's up and down too often. And then finally, before I let you go, I'm concerned about our defense, particularly our infield. When we have close games, which are going to be close when we play in the playoffs, we can't afford Trey to drop easy ground ball double plays or as many good plays as he make those routine plays in the tough situations. Scare me about our infield as we get down to the playoffs, because you're going to have defense. I'm an old time baseball guy, and I still believe wholeheartedly pitching and defense wins championships. Pitching and defense.
Yeah, I hear you, Kevin. I appreciate the call, but I don't know. I think we've gotten to the point where we talk about pitching so much that we diminish a little bit the fact that you need to score runs, man. You need a potent offense. Like, that's what's shown me. Like, why have the Phillies not advanced in the playoffs the last 2 years?
Mainly
because they couldn't hit in the biggest games.
Yeah, but most of that had to do with the fact that, to me, that we faced really good pitching and, you know, we couldn't move runners over because we were trying to swing out of the shoes. So if you correct that, I think you have a better chance. Because we've had some pretty decent pitching at times. It's just those games when you lose by one run. I think that's what's really annoying with it. when you see it like that. So, yeah, I think that's what it is.
And that's the thing that frustrated me the most from the Mets series last year, though, is I didn't think their pitching was great. I mean, they went out and they went with Kodai Senga, who hadn't started a game, all season, essentially, in game one. Phillies, couldn't take advantage of that early, couldn't push any runs across. They go with, Jose Quintana in game four. That guy's not a great pitcher. They couldn't score, so I think pitching obviously matters a hell of a lot, but you need to be able to score as well, and that's why I think the Phillies need to address both here. You need to address the bullpen, and you need to address the lineup. But your thoughts on that, some of the rumors we throw out there, Manuel Clase, Steven Kwan, but really, would you be willing to have Andrew Painter on the table in a deal if it's the right deal? Again, I'm not giving him away, but I think you need to consider everything because you're going for it this year. That's at least the way I view it. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Get some calls in on this next. Is Andrew Painter on the table for you at all this deadline? And reacting to Bryce Harper's big day yesterday, what it means for this team moving forward. Plus, we'll see if we can find a match for the Phillies when Kyle gives us an unnamed player that could potentially be a fit for the Phillies at the trade deadline. That's coming up next. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio. This is the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
You know, Hatfield just dropped something real special. A marinated carnitas is boneless and it's a pork roast. It's tender, juicy flavor for days, people. This isn't your average pork roast. This is a next level pork roast. It's really, really good, too. Had it the other day. Put it on some, taco, the bread, the tortillas. Put it on some tortillas and it was really good.
Nailed it.
The new Hatfield marinated carnitas pork roast. It's perfect for Sunday dinner or whenever you want to feel like a hero without breaking a sweat. That's why I put them on the tortillas. Trust me, you're going to want to grab one. Put some pork on your fork. Hit up simplyhatfield.com to find a retailer near you. Hatfield. Better care, better pork. Tortillas!